Hart jumped upright and snatched up his rifle, checking the load.
Everybody up! We got trouble!
From a slow, deliberate awaken, they all leaped to their feet, guns in hand.
What the hell?
We're being attacked! We better be prepared to defend ourselves! They're coming in from over there!
Hart pointed across the flat, shallow river. The rising sun lit the black bluff from behind, and skylined atop the ridge, there were several Indians on horseback, brandishing their war spears. They knew better than to stay there. After a minute to show themselves, and they hoped to scare the white men on the island, they rode down to the other side, all but one. That one, a tall man with a single feather on his head and his face painted, remained visible and defiant, as if he were challenging them to take a shot at him. Art was tempted to do just that, but until he knew how many of them there were and where they were coming from, he held off shooting anybody.
But Gillett Hoffman, you two take the rear and see if any of them are attacking from the other side of the river. I doubt it, but we just don't know for sure.
Those two turned and went to their position.
Cavendish and Montgomery, take the left, over there by those trees. Matthews and I'll take the right. If the Indians split up their party to attack from two ways, we'll be covered that way. If I see him coming from one direction, we'll regroup to face him there.
Quickly, the two men rushed off. Art and Matthews turned, moved over to some tall scrub to their right, and hunkered down there, rifles at the ready, powder and shot close at hand for reloading. He had divided up the men to put one quick loader with one slower man. He was the quicker between Matthews and himself. McDill was quicker than the Hessian, and Montgomery was lightning fast on the reload, while Cavendish was slow as molasses. Art could only hope for the best, hope that each man and each pair would hold position. The question was, how many Indians were about to attack? Men could only wait. Then the attack came. From atop the bluff, the tall Indian, who certainly was the leader of the raid, rode straight down the side of the bluff, his horse kicking up black dirt and rocks as he came. To the left, from where Art's men were, a column of attackers came around the bluff, brandishing guns and spears.
McDill, any sign back there?
Nobody, not yet. I don't think they're coming from here.
Art had to make a quick judgment. He had no way of knowing whether the Indians had 10 or 100 men in their war party or some number in between. He would have to go with his gut instinct on this. His own men's lives are in his hands now, just like his own.
All right, move up, cover Cavendish and Montgomery, but don't bunch up too tight. We gotta present a wide front.
What should we do?
Stay put for a second. I count a total of 12. Now, that's not a lot, but that's twice as many as us. At least that's how many we can see right now. It looks to be Blackfoot.
Yeah, all painted up for war.
Lock Thy Gold was proud of these men who would step forward to go on this raid. They were the bravest of the brave from among the Blackfoot village where he had found refuge and purpose. He proudly led them into battle this day. When he got to the bottom of the bluff, he wheeled his pony around and went to the head of the column of warriors, then rode with them onto the sandy shoreline of the river. Again, he looked across to take the measure of the men who would die today, his enemy. They didn't look like much. They were armed, though, seemingly ready to meet the attack. Wak Thago threw his spear toward the man he thought was the leader of the whites. It missed.
Hold your fire. Don't waste your bullets until you're sure of the shot.
Art watched the tall, fierce warrior who led the party. He lifted his rifle and took aim. The lead warrior was about 10 yards away.
Damn, missed. Fire!
Art quickly reloaded and primed his weapon and lifted it again. The warriors released their spears, which flew just over the defenders' heads.
Keep shooting!
Art didn't feel panic or fear. He knew what had to be done. He carefully aimed his rifle at another of the engine riders. Too damned. Now the engine leader wheeled his horse to the right and just missed getting shot by Montgomery. The big engine turned and smiled. He pulled his horse to the rear of the attacking party, then turned to charge again. The engines kept coming, and now they had their own rifles and bows at the ready. Arrows plowed into the earth by Cavendish, Matthews, and Hawk. McGill frantically reloaded and lifted his gun, just in time for a ball from one of the engines to whiz past his head, missing him by just a few inches. Another man fell. The trappers were cutting down the odds with each passing minute. The brave circled and fell in behind their leader and charged again. An arrow struck Hoffman in his right arm just below the shoulder. It passed through his flesh and left a bloody pulp. But he barely flinched as he reloaded his rifle, ramming a ball into the barrel. Art saw the blood streaming down the German's arm, but couldn't stop to respond. It was a miracle that Art had not lost a single man yet. He looked around and saw that his men were fiercely concentrated on doing their best to fire, reload, again and again, almost like machines. He was proud of them. There was no time for sympathy. He focused on his own job. With this last volley from the trappers, the engine charge finally broke. Art couldn't help but feel relieved when he saw them turn their horses and flee back into the surrounding forest.